If you're an income investor and you're not generating more than $500 a month, we have one question for you.
Are you crazy?
Let ETFGuide.com help you. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month.
Go to ETFGuide.com
to get our monthly income trades. Click on ETF Combos, and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow.
Isn't it time you lowered your risk
and increased your monthly income? Go to ETFGuide.com, and we'll show you how.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us. This is the Index Investing Show, your weekly insight into the major stock, bond, and commodity indexes and the financial products tracking them. Coming up on today's show, the U.S. Treasury crosses above the legal debt limit of $16.7 trillion. It's shocking, it's outrageous, and it's against the law. We're going to talk about that. Also coming up, the criminal insider trading case against billionaire Steve Cohen and his hedge fund SAC Capital is picking up steam. I'm going to talk about why, if these allegations are true, then that would make Steve Cohen the Lance Armstrong of the investment business. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. You want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment theme, I'm game. You can also follow me on Twitter. At indexshow is my Twitter handle. Also coming up, what is rich? What to you is rich? We're going to talk about what a UBS survey that asked that same question to a number of participants and what they say is rich. So that coming up, we're here again, 877-711-5611 is the number. Give us your first name along with your city, and I will get to you. We're here every week talking about the birds and the bees of successful investing, and I want to talk about the perhaps one of the biggest stories of the year, which is the U.S. Treasury going $38 billion over the legal debt limit. Now tell me, people, how was this allowed to even happen? How is this even legal? And how has the media completely missed this? So let me bring you up to speed. Back on May 17th, the legal debt limit was set at $16.7 trillion, and not a penny more. And I can't stress that enough, not a penny more. So the latest update that we've gotten here from the U.S. Treasury Department, Table 3, Table C, debt subject to limit, and it shows that they've gone $38 billion, the total public debt outstanding, $38 billion over the limit. That's the U.S. Treasury. Now, on last week's program, I misspoke. I said it was only $38 million. Well, I stand corrected. I actually understated the level of excess debt. It's actually $38 billion, not $38 million. So it's actually much worse. And I'd like to also thank the Drudge Report. I wrote an article about this at ETFGuide.com titled, Has the U.S. Treasury Already Exceeded the Debt Limit? That article was on the homepage of the Drudge Report, thank you, Matt Drudge, on July 26th. And lest I remind you, this is a politically neutral show, but we are not mathematically neutral. And when the U.S. Treasury violates the law, as it has, by going $38 billion over the legal debt limit, it's damning proof of just how lawlessness has reached the highest levels of government. And you can't get much higher than the U.S. Treasury. And by the way, I didn't invent that figure. That $38 billion comes directly from the horse's mouth. That's the U.S. Treasury. So my question to you, who at the U.S. Treasury should be fired for breaking the legal debt limit? And furthermore, who should go to jail over this $38 billion atrocity? 877-711-5611. I want to hear from you. What's the point of a future debate on the legal debt limit in September or October, as we're going to have, if the U.S. Treasury's already broken the law by going over that limit? What's the point? Is there any point? Why even bother? Here's what else I want to know. How come nobody in the mainstream media, from CNN to CNBC to Fox to Bloomberg, none of them are talking about this to the public? Don't you think the public, don't you think the Treasury bondholders, don't you think that taxpayers all deserve to know how the U.S. Treasury's broken the law by going over the legal debt limit? Isn't that newsworthy? Since when is that not a headline news story? Since when does that take a back seat to Justin Bieber's new hairdo? Can anybody tell me? Shame on CNN, shame on CNBC, shame on Fox, shame on Bloomberg, shame on all of them for missing one of this year's biggest financial stories. But that's why you have me. That's why you have us. That's why you've got the Index Investing Show. I don't just tell you what the news is, but I expose phonies and I expose cronies. 877-711-5611 is a number. We're here. Another thing that I love doing is assassinating consensus investment opinions. We're going to do that on today's show. I'll read some of your emails a little bit later. I also want to read some reactions to that article that I wrote. Has the U.S. Treasury already exceeded the debt limit? It's been posted on our Facebook account for the Index Investing Show. It's also on our Twitter account, at Index Show. And you can also read it at etfguide.com. That article also, I'm proud to say, was liked on Facebook over 950 times. It was retweeted over 260 times. And I'm going to be following this story. They've already gone $38 billion over the legal debt limit. Will they go $50 billion over the legal debt limit? Well, stay tuned to the show, and we will provide you with future updates on that. Let's take a quick recap and rundown and see where some of the key market indexes and financial products tracking them stand so far in 2013. Look, see, and compare the performance of your own investment portfolio versus some of these major benchmarks. Now, taking a look at the total U.S. stock market, ticker symbol VTI, ahead by just over 20% and continuing to hold on to some of those gains, the market is, as tracked by the S&P 500 and the Dow, it's still at 52-week highs or near them. The S&P has had some trouble, though, breaking that psychological barrier of 1,700. Will we get there? Well, we'll just have to see. Small-cap stocks continue to outperform large company stocks. IJR follows the S&P Small-Cap 600. This is an index of 600. Small company stocks. We're talking about companies with a market cap between 250 million up to 2 billion. So ticker IJR ahead by just over 23.5% and outperforming large company stocks by an easy margin. VEA, which tracks the FTSE Developed Market Index, we're talking about stocks in countries like Japan and the United Kingdom, developed markets. VEA ahead by just over 8.5%. VNQ, which tracks U.S. real estate companies or REITs, ahead by 9.3% and holding on to some of its gains. Beware, though, people, and I can't stress this enough, beware of some of these rate-sensitive sectors like REITs, like utilities, and also, of course, long-term bonds. All of these areas are very susceptible to any increases from here in interest rates. The 10-year yield on U.S. Treasuries is now in the vicinity of 2.6%. That yield has surged. It's zoomed ahead by over 50% over the past several months. We've had a trend change alert. I'm not going to sing the song to you. You've already heard it, but we have had a trend change alert. Interest rates are moving back up. So be ready for that. Lighten up on those long-term bonds. Ticker symbol BND follows the total U.S. bond market ahead, down by 2.32%. And also another area that's really taken it on the chin, our long-term U.S. Treasuries, TLT, have fallen more than 10%. And look at that. The yield on that ETF tracking long-term treasuries is just 2.8%. So you've already fallen 10%. Your yield is just 2.8%. Let's do the math on that. How long would it take you in yield? You need at least 3.5 years of that yield just to recoup your losses that you've had in 2013. Oh my goodness. If you own long-term bonds, I would start lightening up and maybe even eliminating some of those positions. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. We're here, 877-711-5611. More when we return.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron@indexshow.com is the email address. Welcome back from the break. Talking about the U.S. Treasury and how they've broken the law by going $38 billion over the legal debt limit. What do you think about that? Legal debt limit, by the way, is $16.7 trillion and not a penny more. And they've gone $16.738 trillion. I mean, this is shocking, and it's outrageous, and it should not be happening. And this is what I think is laying the ground for what we call a credit event. We've already had an interest rate event where rates have gone up rather fast. I mean, a 50% move in the 10-year yield over the past several months is a pretty huge move. 50% move in any market, especially interest rates and yields, is huge. And that's what we've had. So that's an interest rate event. But this is laying the groundwork for what we call a credit event. In other words, we're going to get to the point of where there's so much debt that the government has taken on that it just becomes impossible for them to pay it back. And then what you have is you have a loss of confidence that debt will ever be repaid. And then what happens is that bondholders are slammed because the existing debt that's out there, the bonds begin to lose value because of that credit event. So this is laying the foundation for that. It's time to be ready for that moment. We're not quite there just yet. That moment will be reflected. You're going to get some warning signs because it will be reflected in the technicals. The technicals are going to tell you, the charts are going to tell you when there's problems, when there's a lack of confidence in Treasury bond prices due to a flailing confidence. Right now, we've seen an interest rate event, but the credit event is coming. Be ready for it. My August newsletter at ETFGuide.com has just been published. That's one of our major investment themes. I have a ranking of 10 investment themes. Also included are top-yielding ETFs, top-performing ETFs. Also, one of our popular pieces is our global equity map, which shows all the single country ETFs lined up next to each other in the form of a map, and shows you where the performance is coming from, where the lackluster performance is, where the leaders are, and so forth. So you just have a quick snapshot of what's going on in terms of global equity performance. And really, the only areas that are holding up have been the U.S., Japan, and the United Kingdom, and to some extent Europe. But the rest of the world in terms of equities is lagging. And it's interesting too to note that those areas, those four regions, have been the most active in terms of aggressive monetary stimulus by central bankers. Thus the asset inflation, thus the stock prices that have been going up. 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. We're talking about the birds and the bees of successful investing, trying to keep you ahead of market trends. What about SAC Capital and Steve Cohen, who runs that organization? It's a hedge fund. They got $14 billion under management. They're being investigated and chased by everyone. Yeah, they got the FBI after them. They've got the CIA. They've got the SEC, the DOJ. They've got the KGB. They've got the South Korean government, North Korean government, I mean, you name it, everyone wants a piece of SAC Capital. And what is the issue with this firm? Well, how did they get such a great investment return on their fund? I mean, over the past 10, 20 years, they've only had like 1 year of losses. That was in 2008, when I believe the hedge fund declined around 20%. But that to me looks rather suspicious. Because in the investment business, You're going to have bad years. You're going to have good years. And in the case of SAC Capital, they've had almost every single year has been just a great, great year. And so that seems to me to be very suspicious. And if these allegations are true against Steve Cohen and SAC Capital, well, that would make Steve Cohen the Lance Armstrong of the investment business. I mean, it's plain and simple. It's not really that hard to figure out. I mean, can it be any more clear than that? If he has been cheating, if he's been using performance-enhancing drugs, then clearly he is the Lance Armstrong of the investment business. But I find his track record, the track record for SAC Capital, to be particularly suspicious. The fund has only had one loss since it was launched. That's very unusual because everyone, even the greats, even Warren Buffett, George Soros, suffer occasional losses from time to time. But not Steve Cohen, not SAC Capital. They're always up. Market's good, they're up. Market's bad, they're up. It's just amazing. And so let me pose this question to you. Who is the only person, who is the only other person to always have gains and never losses? Can you tell me who that person is? Who is that person and where are they at today? I want to know. 877-711-5611. Ron@indexshow.com is the email address. My Twitter handle, @indexshow. We're asking some hard questions on today's show. Speaking of insider trading, I wrote about this in my book, Gents With No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street, Its Customers, Financial Regulators, and the Media. And I'm very pleased to announce that my book, Gents With No Sense, is reader rated 4.5 stars at Amazon.com. Don't believe me? Well, go ahead. See what the readers say. Let them be the judge. They are the judge, and so far they like what they've read. So tips on insider trading, page 97 of Gents With No Sense. I'm going to read it to you. Using non-public information that is material and trading on it is a crime called insider trading. As has been demonstrated, the penalties for insider trading are very high, and the rewards for not getting caught are even higher. Illegal insider trading would occur, for example, if a significant shareholder at Company A learned before it became publicly known that Company A will be acquired and that shareholder bought shares in Company A ahead of the acquisition, knowing that its share price would likely rise. Any profits made are illegal. There are numerous other intriguing variations of insider trading that my cranky legal department won't allow me to list. So what are the persuasive arguments in favor of making insider trading a lawful activity? Generally speaking, the individuals making these claims, the ones who want to legalize insider trading, also want to legalize narcotics, prostitution rings, and organized crime. The other proponents of legalized insider trading were once kidnapped and now suffer from Stockholm Syndrome. While I personally don't agree with legalizing insider trading, I do understand the basic premise, which is to give chaos a chance. Does that sound like something we should try? To give chaos a chance? I mean, doesn't the world already have an adequate sum of mayhem? Do we need insider trading to add any more? So that's from Gents With No Sense, page 97, tips on insider trading. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron@indexshow.com is the email address. If you'd like to send me a comment, a question, or if you'd like to get a portfolio report card, we do that on this program. I'll look at your investment portfolio in 5 key areas: diversification, risk, tax efficiency, performance, and fees. And I'll tell you whether your portfolio passes or flunks. I don't care if your portfolio is worth $1,000 or $100 million. My portfolio report card works on all size portfolios. In fact, it works on portfolios up to $10 billion. And pretty much if your portfolio's made it to $10 billion, well, you don't really need to get a portfolio report card, do you? Because you already got more money than you need. But the point here is that my portfolio report card will help you to see if your investments are on track or off track. So get in touch with me, Ron@indexshow.com, if you want that. You can also tweet me @indexshow. We're going to get into some of your emails coming up next. We'll continue our discussion of the Lance Armstrong of the investment world. We will also talk about the U.S. Treasury, your U.S. Treasury breaking the law.
You've heard them on the radio and seen them on TV. Gold experts promising big profits. The truth is, gold prices have crashed and investment demand is down over 50%, according to the World Gold Council. While gold experts keep promising higher prices, the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com told its subscribers the gold bubble would pop. Our gold alert given to subscribers in early 2013 resulted in a 500% gain. Listening to gold experts would have lost you a boatload of money. Listening to ETFGuide.com would have helped you to profit. Stop listening to gold experts and stop following the crowd. Subscribe to the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com and make money. Our no-bull approach is world famous, and what happens next in the gold market will shock the entire globe. Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code SAVE50. We'll tell you what to buy, what to sell, and when to do it. Be ready for the next big move in gold only at ETFGuide.com.
So is this just another phony scandal? The U.S. Treasury Department already exceeding the debt limit, which was set on May 17th. $16.7 trillion and not a penny more. They've gone to $16.738 trillion. That's $38 billion over the limit. I didn't come up with that number. That was directly provided to us, to the public, by the U.S. Treasury Department itself, which publishes a daily report. And that's where I got that from. I have a snapshot of that in that article that I wrote at ETFGuide.com with that very title. Has the U.S. Treasury already exceeded the debt limit? Here are some of the comments from that article, which had over 950 likes on Facebook. It also had over 260 tweets, and it was also featured on the homepage of the Drudge Report. Thank you, Matt Drudge. Appreciate that. Got a lot of hits on that. So here are some of the comments. Gnarly CPA said, quote, "The numbers are so big, everyone, including the U.S. Treasury, has lost count. Nobody at the Treasury even has a calculator that goes that high. It's the beginning of the end. Higher rates will cripple the ability of world governments to service their excessive debt. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind." Here's from Brent. He says, in a very sarcastic REM tone, that wonderful band, REM, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Oh, well, it was fun for a while there." Oh, Brent, you're so pessimistic. Pessimistic and sarcastic. I love it. How about Chuck Sedilek? He said collapse is not a matter of if, but when. We also have a very pessimistic comment from Dallas Dan. He says Americans are the biggest suckers in the world. The Obama administration acts with impunity, breaking any law it chooses, and the country lays back and acts like nothing's happening. Sidious said this, "It's all monopoly money anyway. Backed by nothing except the force of the U.S. military, crushing anyone who threatens it." Very, very interesting comments. Here's one last one from AB. He said the executive branch has outspent the money allocated by the House and Senate. Never heard of better grounds for immediate impeachment and imprisonment of the ex-Treasury Secretary. So those are some comments, some of them politically laced. But as you all know by now, this is a politically neutral show, but we are not mathematically neutral. And when we see things that are illegal, things that are wrong, things that hurt the masses, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to exploit that. We're going to expose it. And that's what we do on this show. We expose phonies and we expose cronies. That's what keeps us in business. That's what helps you to stay ahead of the curve. We're going to see a credit event eventually, people. I'm disappointed to report a credit event is coming in the Treasury marketplace. Be prepared. Be prepared. We're already seeing an interest rate event, and some of those inverse performing ETFs like ticker symbol TBT and TMV, which aim for triple, opposite, and double opposite daily performance to U.S. Treasuries, have been surging over the past several months. Both of those ETFs ahead between 12 and 15% over the past several months. Will it continue? And what are the entry points you should be getting in at? What about gold? Gold has been surging over the past several weeks. Nice dead cat bounce. My colleague who writes the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com with me, that's Chad Carnes. He's been on this program before. He just did a really, really cool video for the YouTube channel at ETF Guide all about the VIX. The VIX index is back near its 52-week lows, which signals that there's not a lot of fear in this stock market right now. But he wrote an article going back to gold and whether the bottom in gold has happened. It's titled, Is Gold Blowing Another Kiss of Death? Wow. A kiss of death. Well, I think he's right. I think he's right. This gold rally has been nothing more than a relief rally. It's not the bottom in the gold market. He supports that with charts. He's got the evidence provided right there. But we also look not just at charts, but also market sentiment, which has been picking up. Got very bullish sentiment towards gold. Hedge funds are the most bullish, according to Bloomberg, over the past several months. They're very, very bullish on gold right now. They can't get enough. That's a contrarian indicator. And what's happening over in India, the bans on imported gold, and the Indian consumers can't get enough. In fact, I want to read an email about that. Can you give me my email music, please, Jimmy? Dear Ron, the Wall Street Journal said that demand for gold is so strong in India that gold is being smuggled into the country. Do you think this will propel gold prices higher? And is gold a good buy right now? Signed, William in Colorado Springs. When besides never, William, do we ever use what Indian consumers or what smugglers are doing to make investment decisions? I mean, if anything, consumer behavior is a reflection of herd mentality. And we always use herd mentality. That's always interpreted as a contrarian indicator. Gold, like silver, along with mining stocks, is in the midst of a sucker rally. Let me repeat that because that's pretty important. Gold, like silver, along with mining stocks, is in the midst of a sucker rally. And it's not going up because of demand for gold. The demand for gold is still down. It's going up because of something called the short squeeze. And that short squeeze right now is forcing all these latecomers to the party, these gold bears and these people that tried to short the market, to go back and buy their short positions, which artificially is boosting gold prices along with gold mining stocks and to some extent silver. So that's what's going on right now. It's a short squeeze, and on a short-term basis, it's pushing prices higher. But we still have not seen a firm bottom in gold prices. And the reason we haven't seen that is because any true market bottom in gold or anything else, you have to have something called capitulation selling. And what is capitulation selling? Can you tell me, you gold heathens? Well, let me quote it to you. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19. Into the streets they will throw their silver, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. That is capitulation. Panic selling. People can't get rid of it enough, fast enough. And do we have that right now in the gold market? No, what we've got is a bunch of psychologically deranged people that every time gold goes down, $10, You guys got people like Peter Schiff and James Turk going on to CNBC and the other four-letter networks saying, oh, gold is a deal. You can't buy more. You can't get enough. Boy, are they wrong. They've been wrong about gold the past two years, and they continue to be wrong because they don't pay attention to prices. Prices are the leading indicator. On a year-to-date basis, the Spider Gold Shares, ticker symbol GLD, is down more than 20%. That's the official definition of a bear market. We are still in a bear market in gold. And even though we've had a little rise here over the past several weeks, that hasn't changed. We're still in a bear market in metals. And the question here, getting back to your email, William in Colorado Springs, should we buy gold at these levels? Well, I think you got to be patient. If you want a true bottom in gold, I'd like to see it near $1,000 an ounce. I think we'll make a move down that way. The charts are certainly indicating that. And we've got the sentiment to take gold to those levels. I think patient investors are going to get the mother of all buying opportunities in gold. So be patient. Let prices be your leading indicator and be ready and don't be fooled by a sucker rally. And by the way, I have hammered this gold market since mid-February with some of the trade recommendations at etfguide.com and the Profit Strategy newsletter. One of the best trades that we made, it's time-stamped, was to short GDX, which is the gold mining stocks. That trade right there, and I've got it time-stamped, I'll be happy to send it to you, resulted in a 525% gain. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
So I've asked a question and nobody's bothered to answer it. I already told you about SAC Capital and these shocking allegations against Steve Cohen and SAC Capital, which if found true would make Steve Cohen the Lance Armstrong of the investment business. I find his track record, I find SAC Capital's performance to be quite suspicious. I mean, the fund has only had one loss in the past, 20 years since it was launched. That's very unusual because everyone in the investing business, even the greats, suffers occasional losses. And quite frankly, one loss in the past 20 years, that's suspicious. I'm sorry. And so the point here is who else out there, and I asked this question, but I haven't had any answers, so I'm going to answer it. Who else out there has had this type of performance that even comes close to Steve Cohen? I want to know the answer to that question. Who's the only other person to always have performance gains and never losses? Can you tell me who that person is and where they're at today? Well, the answer is Bernie Ratface Madoff. He's in cell block number, I don't know what the cell block number is. You'll have to look it up on the internet. But he's the only other individual besides Steve Cohen to have consistent market gains year in and year out and never losses. I mean, one loss out of the past 20 years? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's a red flag. And who else is able to do that? I mean, not even the greats like Warren Buffett have that kind of consistent track record. I mean, to go two decades and just to have one loss. But we shall see. We're following this story. 877-711-5611. We're going to see if SAC Capital finally, for once and for all, gets shut down, and Steve Cohen, it goes to the slammer for this. I mean, the difference between him and Madoff is he's been able to accumulate billions of dollars, unlike Madoff. Madoff, well, he didn't become a billionaire from his racket, but Steve Cohen has accumulated billions of dollars from his hedge fund investing, some of the highest fees in the business, to my knowledge, charging somewhere in the range of 3% plus. On top of that, profits, I don't know how much they're taking. I would imagine it's 20%, 30% of profits. I mean, it's outrageous. You want to talk about an easy way to become a billionaire? Right there. Come up with that fee schedule, and you'll become a billionaire very quickly. And he has. And so if this is found true, if he is, in fact, guilty and found guilty and becomes the Lance Armstrong in the investing business, as the evidence seems to suggest, that would mean he should be stripped of his wealth and he should definitely be banned from the business of investing and on top of that, possibly even serve some time. 877-711-5611, what do you think? Also, what do you think about this story? The U.S. Treasury crossing above its legal limit, the debt limit of $16.7 trillion. They're $38 billion over that mark. And here's another shocking case of total mismanagement. And what's going to happen then? Who's going to lose their job at the U.S. Treasury because of this violation of the law? Who is going to lose their job? Who's going to jail? And why haven't the major networks reported this? Why hasn't CNN reported it? Why hasn't CNBC or Fox or Bloomberg? I mean, is this just another one of those phony scandals? I don't think it is, because it's very clear. It's very clear what the legal debt limit is. $16.7 trillion, not a penny more. You can read my article in full. It's titled, Has the U.S. Treasury Already Exceeded the Debt Limit? We know the answer to that. Also, another good article at etfguide.com is gold blowing another kiss of death. And yes, it is a kiss of death. Yes, it is a kiss of death. It's not just a kiss of death, but it's also a sucker rally. That's what we're seeing in gold prices. Ticker symbol GLD, which tracks the price of gold bullion, still down just over 20% since the beginning of the year. So we're going to see another leg down in gold. Will you be ready for that? How about the VIX? The VIX, how would I describe that? Well, the official definition is it measures S&P 500 volatility over the next 30 days. That's volatility in S&P 500 stocks. But the VIX, Ron DeLegge's definition, to help you remember it, just because it's low, just because there hasn't been a lot of volatility in the market, does not mean that volatility does not exist. The VIX is like cockroaches. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. Doesn't mean they don't exist. And like a sleeping giant, the VIX will arise. And we do have a VIX trade. We don't use VIX ETFs or ETNs because, well, they don't really do a good job of tracking the VIX. And besides that, you've got fees, you've got operational problems. When trading the VIX, we prefer to use options, calls, or puts, depending on which direction we're going in, because we can basically get a better read on the VIX with that, without all that tracking error. And plus, we don't have to pay fees to ETF companies or fund companies, and we don't have to also bear credit risk as we would with owning an ETN. We eliminate that risk. So we do have a new trade on the VIX, a trade recommendation. So if you want to find out what that is, for those of you that want to make short-term trades that profit from some of the trends around us, you can check out the weekly picks at etfguide.com. Lest I remind you that you have to think like a contrarian if you want to make money. Now, we did that with the VIX at the end of May. When the VIX got low, we went long. We used some VIX options. And the VIX, we rode that wave. VIX from end of May to the end of June spiked 46%. And we made some money. Those VIX options in about a month's time surged 84%. So we made some money on that trade. VIX since then, at the end of June up until now, has dropped about 35%. So we're getting a nice high probability setup. If you want to know which particular options we're using on the VIX, the strike price, the expiration, and the like, just go to etfguide.com and check that out. Also, I did my monthly trade for August. We do a monthly trade every single month, once a month, and we already did July's toward the end of June. Now that it's the end of July, we've done August. We generated $767 of monthly income on an all ETF portfolio. In three different asset classes, we've got just three ETFs, which hold exposure to U.S. stocks, U.S. REITs, and to commodities. And what we do is we sell covered calls to generate additional income on our portfolio. For August, we just generated $767. Join us. It's a $100,000 hypothetical ETF portfolio. Since the beginning of the year, we've generated over $5,500 of monthly income, which is outstanding. And despite the fact that the 10-year yield has jumped over 50%, It's still in the vicinity of 2.5, 2.6%. Not enough after taxes. That's not enough after inflation for you to live on. And so that's why we do our monthly income trades, to enhance your overall income strategy over and beyond the traditional sources, like your dividend income from your stocks, as well as your yield income from your bonds. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. My Twitter handle, at indexshow. I encourage you to interact with me there. Some of the tweets that I've got right now, LOL alert. Paul Krugman of the New York Times saying that pension liabilities are over, concerns over pension liabilities are overblown. My goodness, is he's so wrong. He's so wrong. And I tell you what, Paul Krugman, let's just thank the high heavens that he doesn't have any positions of responsibility in the United States. Because I tell you, if he was running the ship, this ship would have sunk a long time ago. I also got a tweet from John Galbraith. He's a debt economist. What's he doing sending me tweets? Very negative tweet. The tweet from John Galbraith says that the stock market's going to crash. I swear to goodness, that's hands down the most negative dead guy that I know on Twitter, John Galbraith. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Ready to go portfolios at ETFGuide.com. Follow my monthly income trades there. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.